today's topic is the issues of Neter Vay Bizman Hazeh. It's a little bit of an out there topic relative to what we've been doing in Hilchos Brachos, Maseches Brachos. And just as a background, hopefully we know these points, but just to give the basic background, there's a halacha of the Isser Arla. The Isser Arla is the first 3 years of a fruit tree. It's usher to eat the tree for the first 3 years. And then after that point, the fourth year, it's called Neter Vay. You take the fruit, you bring it to Yerushalayim to eat it there, and if you cannot bring it to Yerushalayim, you could be poda, you redeem the value onto money, and the money is then taken to Yerushalayim to be used to buy something to eat. So, the discussion we saw here in the Gemara, in Daf Lamed Hey, Aleph and Brachos, is discussing whether such a machlokas, whether the halachas of Neter Vay apply to all Neter Vay, to all fruits, or does it apply specifically to Kerem Vay? That's machlokas. And the Gemara had recorded, brought two different sources why one would limit it to Kerem Vay. So the pashas is that Revai should apply to all fruits. There's no reason to think otherwise. Neter Vay, the pasuk referring to fruits, it's a fruit tree. But then the Gemara quotes that based on a pasuk of the Kodesh Hilulim Hashem, we've been discussing Kodesh Hilulim Hashem, and Hilulim implies two hillels. So one of the hillels, the Gemara wanted to say, like we discussed last week, that Ein Shir Ela HaYayin, that the only time you could say a Shira, the only time you could say Halal is when there's wine, the context of wine, the context of grapes. So that would be one reason why you would limit Revai to Dafka Kerem. And the other reason we saw later on in the Gemara, we didn't read this together, but maybe hopefully you saw this during the Seder, that based on a Gzer Shava. There's another source as to how we know it's limited to Kerem Revai, and that the Gemara says, you learn a Gzer Shava, it says here, Lahosif Lachem Tvuaso, it says Tvua in the context of Revai, the fourth year fruits, and Nemar Lahalan, it says elsewhere, Utsvuas HaKarem, it says the word Tvua in the context of a Kerem. And the Gemara makes a Gzer Shava, Ma Lahalan Karen, just like when the word Tfu is used later on, it's referring to specifically Karen. Afkan, so to here, with regards to Revai, it's referring to specifically Karen. So two different sources why one would limit it to Dafka Karen. Either again because of Gzer Shava Tfu Tfu, or because we have the concept of Hilulim, Ein Shir El Hayayin applies only to grapes, nothing more. And on the other side, we have that it applies to all Netiels, it's called what we say Neter Vay. So that's the basic machlokas. So there's a Mishnah in Mishnah's found in Bikurim, Perek Beis.
And it's Chutz La'aretz or Eretz Yisrael?
Right now Eretz Yisrael, anywhere. We're going to get to Chutz La'aretz in a little bit, but right now, anywhere, across the board, even Eretz Yisrael, the machlokas exists. The halachas of Revai apply to all fruits in Eretz Yisrael, or does it apply only to Kerem? That's the machlokas.
That's where we're starting, across
exactly.
The board.
How it applies to Chutz La'aretz, we'll get to. So on that note, the Rashba brings it's really a Tosfos, also asks the question we'll get to in a moment, but there's a Mishnah Bikurim, Perek Beis Halacha Mishnah Vav, that tells us the following, Esrog Shava Le'ilan B'Shlosha Drachim. An Esrog is equal compared to a tree in three ways. One of the ways is Revai. It says Arla, Revai. So we see that an Esrog tree, which of course is not a Kerem, is the Halacha of Arla apply, and Revai applied to Esrog. So the question Rashba asks, how could Rebbe, who the opinions here, how is Rebbe Chiya, Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe, who seem to be Amoraim, how are they arguing on a Mishnah? The klal is, you can never argue in a previous generation. So we are considered, let's call ourselves Achronim for now at least. We cannot argue on Rishonim. We could argue on the Achronim, we could argue on Rav Moshe, just not really. But we in that part, in that real Tkufa, someone of ours, of who live in our time period, Rav Moshe could argue with Rav Yashiv, and Rav Yashiv with Shlomo Zalman. They could argue with each other because they live in the same time period. But they can't argue on a Rashi, on a Rambam, on a Shulchan Aruch, because that was a previous door. So too, an Amora, which who the Rabbanim who wrote the Gemara, can't argue on the previous generation who wrote the Mishnayos. So how could Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon argue and have a machlokes whether it applies to Kerem only or to other fruits? It's a Mefurish Mishnah that says that Esrogim are subject to the lachas of Revai. So how could Rabbi Shimon come along and say, oh, it only applies to Kerem? How does he deal with a Mishnah that says it applies to even an Esrog? So Rashba therefore says, no, Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon are also Tanaim. You didn't know history well, there seemed to be some confusion when they lived. So Rashba Paskin, they have the din of a Tana, and they have the right to argue on their, they have their own position, and they argue on the Mishnah. That's fine, because they themselves have the din of a Mishnah. So that's how the Rashba gets out of this machlokas, this stira. However, Tosfos in Kedushin says differently. He asks the same question. And he says, even the opinion who thinks that Revai only applies to Kerem, how are they going to deal with the Mishnah and Bikurim that deals with Esrogim? That's only talking about Echiyah Midrabanan. On a Deraisa level, it only applies to Kerem, either because of the Gzer Shava, or because Ein Shir El Yayin. One of those psukim tell us that Revai only applies to Kerem. Ah, the Mishnah Bikurim says Esrog. That's a Itzer Derabanan. That's a Chiyum Derabanan to apply Revai to other fruits, including Esrogim. But Midiraisa, it only applies to Kerem. And that's how Tosos explains the stira between the Gemara here in Brachos and the Mishnah in Bikurim.
We didn't bring it up, but nobody brings up the fact that maybe Esrog is in a category of his own because it's in a category of his own. It's automatically in the category of trees. We don't argue on that.
Correct. There's no even though Esrogim is unique in many ways, in the very fact that it has certain halachas like a tree and certain halachas like a vegetable, but there's no reason based on the psukim to say Esrog is different. Yes, it's different. A banana is also different, but it doesn't mean it's going to draw a distinction. So that's the machlokas. Within Eretz Yisrael, we have now a range. We have either you hold it applies to all neter vai, or it applies only to kerem revai, or in the middle, it applies to kerem revai on a derais level, and other fruits on a dirabana level. Those are three shittas we have within machlokas, within Eretz Yisrael. So what about chutz la'aretz? So now we move to a tosos. If anyone has the Gemara Brachos, worthwhile to read inside, and daf lamed hei amud alef, tosos dibur hamaschil, ulaman detani kerem revai. Tosas writes, "V'yata kaimela." Now we paskin the revai noeg af b'chutzlarts. We apply the din of revai, the din of fourth year fruits, even chutzlarts. Miu b'cherem noeg v'lo b'shar ilanos. But he says that when we apply the din in chutzlarts, it only applies to the din of kerem, but it does not apply to other trees. Why? What's his svara? The chol hamekel b'aretz halacha kamos b'chutzlarts. This is a gemara that's later on we haven't seen yet. But the halacha is whenever there's machlokas in Eretz Yisrael about zrayim, we always take the more lenient opinion and apply this to chutz la'aretz. So if we have the machmir opinion, the make opinion, whatever we pass in Eretz Yisrael does not have no reflection on what we say outside. In chutz la'aretz, we always go whatever is the more make opinion. And we're going to discuss this probably in a few weeks when we get to the sugya. I mentioned this last time, there are other areas in the halacha when we apply such a klal, we always pass like the make opinion. There are two other places that we always base passing like the make opinion. Anybody know which other two places in halacha? Aside brachos l'hakel, that's true, but that's not that doesn't say we go like the makel opinion. It just says don't do anything. But let's say it's a machlokas of two opinions. So in avelus, you know, if we say the avel halacha kemakel, there's such a machlokas we always go lekula when it comes to avelus, and the other one is the eruvin, that we always go based on the makel opinions by eruvin. And some people say if there's like a down Erev, or they say, oh, don't worry, you always be Mekah by Erev. It's only true when there's two positions that are actually positions, not just to be Mekah by Erev across the board and just not use an Erev. It means when there are two opinions that are brought down in Shulchan Aruch and we don't know who to pass them like, so then you could go for the Mekah opinion. But it doesn't mean just to Mekah type of din. But those are three areas, at least that I know of, that we always go with the Mekah opinion. So right now we're talking about the case of when it comes to Zerayim, we always go based on the Mekah opinion in Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, how do we paskin though? Eretz Yisrael, is there a Rambam here? The Ein Mishpat, does he tell us how to paskin? Let's see. Right. So if you see the in the Gemara where it says Detani Neter Vai, there's a little hay in brackets in the Gemara. Mm-hmm. So there, that hay in the brackets takes us to the Ein Mishpat, and the Ein Mishpat tells us there on the side the bracket hay, Maimonides, the Rambam Perek Tes Mehilchos Ma'aser Sheni. That's what the halacha is brought down, and we paskin Neter Vai. So in Eretz Yisrael, we paskin neter revai. You see that top left there? The Ein Mishpat?
Yeah, what's it say?
Although he quotes the Rambam as the source, that the Rambam is paskin neter revai. The reason why the hay is next to the word neter revai and not kerem revai, that's telling us that the Rambam paskins that we hold neter revai in Eretz Yisrael, that across the board, all fruits are subject to the lach of revai. Now in Chutz La'aretz, the Tosos is telling us that no, we only apply it to kerem revai. So that's how Tosos Paskin in Chutz La'aretz, it only applies to grapes, the lachas of revai.
That's how Tosos Paskins, that's how the Rambam Paskins?
The Rambam Paskins in Eretz Yisrael,
right.
Based on the Gemara is talking about Eretz Yisrael only.
Right.
In Eretz Yisrael, we Paskin, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say, that applies to all fruits across the board, the lachas of revai apply to all fruits, net to revai applies in Eretz Yisrael, all fruits.
Right.
Now the question is, Chutz La'aretz, the Gemara never addresses. The Tosa says, we have a klal called Mekel Baretz Halacha Kamosa B'Chutz La'aretz. So since Kerem Revai is the more Mekel opinion, we paskin that way in Chutz La'aretz Lefi Tosfos. So now if we look at Rabbeinu Yonah in the back, and Daf Chavdal Amud Beis on the riff, he quotes a number of opinions as to how we paskin in Chutz La'aretz. So the Rabbeinu Yonah quotes, this is Dibur Maschil L'Inyan Pesaka. He first quotes the opinion of Rav Acha, Mishabcha, he refers to the opinion of Tosos as well, that it only applies to Kerem in Chutz La'aretz. But then he quotes Avar Rabbeinu Yitzchak HaZaka in Zal. Haya Omer, this is three lines down in the Dibur Maschil in Pisgah. He quotes from Rabbeinu Yitzchak HaZaka in Haya Omer, Shezu Ein Araya. You can't use this klal of Kol HaMekab Aretz Halacha Kmoso every single place in Zerum, just start applying it across the board. Because Mipnei Shenu Chalitchos, you could clearly simply reject such a Raya, Velomar, Shlo Amru Kol HaMekab Aretz Halacha Kmoso B'chotart Elo Gavit Tzlaf. The only time the Gemara invokes such a klal is regarding the tzlaf tree. We haven't seen the tzlaf tree yet. Tzlaf tree is a caper bush. We haven't seen this yet, but the Gemara in a couple daf is going to invoke the concept of Kol HaMekab Aretz regarding the tzlaf tree.
Is that 30-day growth? Three times in 30 days? Is that one time in 30 days?
That's, I think, the Gemara Babasa talks about this a little bit. Yes, very good. So it's a unique type of bush where there are a number of different types of fruits that grow on the tzlaf tree. There are berries, and then there are vionos, and there are kafrisim. It's an interesting tree. We'll get to that in a couple of weeks, probably. So the Gemara there is discussing which part of this caper bush is subject to the halachas of Arla. What's considered the fruit? Is it the leaves? The leaves are edible, apparently. Is it the fruits? Is it the berries? So that's a machlokas. And the Gemara says we always go for the makel opinion in chutz, or not always. We follow the makel opinion in chutz la'aretz.
On tzlaf
tree.
So it's an exceptional case, not the rule.
Exactly. So he says only when the Gemara applies such a concept do we say kol makel b'aretz. But we can't just take this kol makel b'aretz and run with it and say every single time there's a machlokas in Zerum, we always go makel in chutz la'aretz. He doesn't like that klal at all. And he brings a very interesting raya that the Madani Yantav rejects. The raya he brings is the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin is talking about a situation where Rav Nachman and Rav Anan were both once walking along the way, and they see somebody planting barley and grape seeds. And he says, he puts the guy next to communication, he says, you should be in Nidui, you shouldn't be doing this, it's an Isav Klaim to mix together different types of species of fruits. So he says, is it not clear to you that we paskin like Rav Yoshia? Rav Yoshia says that you don't violate Kalayim until you have Seora and Chita and Chartam, which is a grapes, all in one shot. You need one handful. I don't have any Chita. I have Seora. I have Geffen, but there's no Chita here. So why are you telling me I should be in Nidui?
Two is not enough. You need three.
Exactly. So that's what the response. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, if it's true we have the Klal of Kol HaMekab Aretz, Halacha Kamosa B'chutz La'aretz is a klal across the board, he should have said to him, what do you mean? We're talking about Chutz La'aretz here, and we always go for the Mekel opinion. Why do you have to say we pass like Rabbi Yoshio, you need three items there together? He should have used a different klal called Mekel B'aretz. And since such a machlokas exists, and it's Chutz La'aretz, we should go for the Mekel opinion.
Isn't it Gemacher opinion? That you're chayef for two, not for three?
That you're chayef for two, not for three. Yeah, so I'm saying, instead of saying Rabbi Yoshio, he should have said the klal called Mekel B'aretz Chutz La'aretz, which would be Rabbi Yoshio. So instead of quoting Rabbi Yoshia, that's how we paskin, right. He should have said, there's this general rule, whoever's the make opinion, which in this case is Rabbi Yoshia, we paskin like him in Chutz La'aretz. So that's the raya. It's a very strange raya, because Kol Mekel seems to be it's a weaker response. The more direct response should have been, we even paskin like Rabbi Yoshia in Eretz Yisrael, certainly paskin like him in Chutz La'aretz. So he brings this as a raya to say that the fact that the Gemara does not invoke such a klal of Kol Mekel B'aretz tells us that it's not a general rule that we apply across the board by Zerayim.
The raya was that the person asking didn't hold like Rabbi Yoshia. Why not? If that's if the klal applies, then the asker, the shul should be, no? There is a stronger raya.
The way that Rabbi Yonah says is, why do you have to say halachas like Rabbi Yoshia? He should have simply said, kol mekabar halacha kamosu b'chutz la'aretz. And the fact that he didn't say that tells us that that's not a klal we could invoke wherever we want. But Madani Yantif says, he rejects that. He says, that's not a good raya at all.
It's actually...
Rabbi Yoshia seems to be a better response, saying we pass like Rabbi Yoshia.
But it supports it in the end of the day.
According to Madani Yantif, he says, the fact that the Gemara in Kedushin doesn't use Kol Mekel B'aretz is not a raya that we don't apply it across the board. So, where's Madani Yantif? Let me get it quickly out here.
Saying it concurs with it, though, even though they didn't use it, it concurs with it, so it's not a proof.
According to Madani Yomtif, that's how he says it's okay. That's not a rejection of such a klal. Right, he says, what kind of raya is this? Kevin she emes hu dehachik haimelan k'Rabbi Yoshia. We pass on Rabbi Yoshia. Lama lo lomar mitam kol mekel. Why would he use another reason of kol mekel? It's actually a better statement to say we pass on Rabbi Yoshia in Eretz Yisrael, certainly in Chutz La'aretz. So it's an interesting discussion. Again, hopefully we'll get to in a couple of weeks. How expansive, what's the scope of applying Kol HaMekel B'aretz? That's for another discussion we'll get to. But we see that as somewhat of the tension here of is it a general rule or is it limited to whenever the Gemara applies it? It's very strange to say it only applies when the Gemara applies it. There's so many other cases that are going to happen. The Gemara doesn't discuss every single case. It's very strange to limit it. But either way, what comes out, according to this, is that it sounds like we would not paskin. We would paskin even chutzlarts. It would apply to netervai. Because everyone agrees in Eretz Yisrael, the halacha is netervai, not kerem revai, but netervai. So chutzlarts would also be netervai. There's no reason, according to this opinion, to limit it to kerem revai. Right, so that's how we're holding right now the machlokes. Is it dafka kerem, according to Tosfos, because halacha kameko, or is it even netervai in chutzlarts? Now, then Rabbeinu Yonah goes on to bring at the end of this discussion the Rabbeinu Moshe Hazakin, who's the Rambam, which is just interesting how Rabbeinu Yonah quotes him, if you know the history of the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rambam, who had wrote his Svarim, the Yad Chazaka, and many Rishonim had a hard time understanding how the Rambam could forget many of the sources and all other issues he had, this should be a replacement for the Shas. Rabbeinu Yonah was at the forefront of this debate, and he took the Rambam's Svarim and burned them. And he ended up seeing afterwards, some time afterwards in Paris, they started burning the Gemaras. Rabbi Yonah took responsibility that this was his fault. He gave the idea to the Christians to burn Svarim, so that's what they did as well. He realized what he did was wrong, and he wanted to do tshuva. Rambam already had died. He wrote Shari Tshuva in hopes to get some type of kapara for himself. So just fascinating that here he's quoting Rambam now. On one hand, he was against the Rambam, and he burned the Svarim, and now he's actually quoting the Shita of the Rambam. So he quotes the Rambam saying that even by Kerem, Ein din pidyon noeg bizman hazeh. Bizman hazeh, the Rambam holds that there is no din at all of kerem revai. There's no revai at all bizman hazeh in chutzlarts. Even though it's called kodesh hilulim, that the lashon kodesh hilulim is referring to it, there's some level of kedusha when it comes to revai. And ma'aseh sheni is also called kodesh. We have the gzer shava kodesh kodesh. So he says that.
So if he's saying there's no kerem revai, he's also saying there's no. Since
there's no Meiser Sheni in Chutzlarts, so too there's no Pidyon HaKerem in Chutzlarts.
Independent of whether it's Keren or...
Exactly. There's no Revai at all in Chutzlarts because he's talking about there's a strong connection between Meiser Sheni and Revai. Based on the Gezer Shava Kodesh Kodesh, it says Kodesh by Meiser Sheni, it's Kodesh by Revai, so the two are equated. So just like Meiser Sheni does not apply in Chutzlarts at all, so too there's no Revai in Chutzlarts as well.
And a few weeks ago we threw that out because of the potential Gezer Shava with Shemitah.
Exactly, that was very good. Tosas were discussing that same Gezer Shava, very good. So what comes out, the Rambam in the end...
But he's not throwing it out, he's using it.
He's using it. Now the Rambam concedes at the end, since the Gonim thought there was such a din of Revai in Chutzlarts, he concedes that, okay, we couldn't be knowing it, but he thinks the real true halacha is that there should be no Revai in Chutzlarts. So now we have three opinions.
Say that
in Chutzlarts.
Again, because when we went over it, he said yes, no, yes.
Yeah, no, so he says that based on his understanding that there should be no Revai in Chutzlarts,
yeah.
But at the same time, he has to concede. If the other Rabbanim are saying otherwise, he's a Das Yachid, he has to sometimes give in. So he gave in that the Gonim had such a custom to keep Revai in Chutzlarts, by Kerem in particular. So therefore he said, okay, I have to give in to them. But Mikar Din, the real halacha according to Rambam's understanding is that there should be no Revai at all in Chutzlarts. Just like Ma'aseh Sheni is limited to Eretz Yisrael, so to Revai is limited to Eretz Yisrael. So now we have three shitas when it comes to Revai and Chutzlarts. We have now the Tosfos who says it applies only to Kerem. We have the shita the Rambam says it doesn't apply at all. And we have shitas of Rabbeinu Yitzchak who the Rabbeinu Yonah quotes that it applies to all Neta Revai, all fruits, because we can't apply the klal of Kol Mekav Arts, Halacha Kamosa B'Chutzlarts. Those are the three opinions in Chutzlarts. Okay. Now, Lechora, there could be a fourth opinion, that even with the understanding that it applies only to Kerem Revai, what does that opinion hold about other fruits on a Dirabana level? We started off in the beginning saying that Tosos holds in Kedushin that Kerem Revai applies only to Kerem Revai, but there is a machlokas whether it applies to other fruits on a Dirabana level. So that's something we could keep in mind within that opinion who thinks it only applies to Kerem Revai and Chutzlart, which is the opinion of Tosos, that you say it will apply to other fruits, at least on a Dirabana level. So those are three, maybe four shitas we have with regards to Chutzlart. Now this whole discussion is only regarding Revai, the fourth year fruits. What about Arla? Pashtus is, we have no discussion at all with regards to Arla. Arla, the Gemara always presents it as a case as it applies to all fruits across the board. So all fruits, Arla should be subject to all fruits, no matter how you understand Revai. Because the only reason why Tosas thought to limit Revai to Kerem was because the Klal called Makeup Arts. Now Arla, we have no such machlokas. So Arla should apply in Chutzlarts just as well. Now, it's very lemaisa. Some people who like to grow fruit, they want to grow esok trees. There are a few people in the neighborhood who've tried to grow esok trees, gesundheit, which is a very hard thing to do when you're not in the right environment. So they, you know, so one person, I know one person who tried growing it, and it takes years and years till the tree really bears fruit. So what happens is they would uproot it from the outside, and then they replant it inside, and then go back and forth. Now each time you replant a tree, the 3-year cycle begins again. So Arla applies in Chutz La'aretz even when it comes to other fruits. Now if you keep the tree in the same pot, let's say, it's in a pot outside and a pot inside, that's not called replanting. But it does apply, Arla applies across the board to all fruits. Now that brings us to an interesting discussion of the Rashi and Sota. If you look in Rashi and Sota, very strange Rashi, hard to understand, and the Rishonim and Achronim try to understand this, this is going to be very relevant for the halachas of Arla and other fruits as well. So first we have to look at the Baal Mor. The Baal Mor...
What are we trying to figure out? We're trying to figure out what the din is on Arla now?
Exactly. Now we're moving over to Arla right now. So where's this Baal Mor? Do I have a different source of daf here? I have in Chav Vav, here we go. On Chav Vav Amud Beis, on the Rif, the Baal Mor says the following. He records the Machlokas about Neter Ravai versus Kerem Ravai. And he says, like Tosos, we paskin when it comes to Chutz La'aretz, Kedivri HaMekel, and therefore Chutz La'aretz, it only applies to Kerem. Then he says an interesting line. He says, when it comes to Kerem, it only applies when the Kerem is a certain size. How do you define a vineyard, a Kerem? It can't be one vine. That's not a Kerem. A Kerem means a vineyard. So what is a vineyard? He says, Shtaim Kineged, Shtaim V'achas Yotzei Zonov. Based on Mishnayos, without getting into that right now, there have to be two, and one, a total of five in the same vicinity will have the din of a Kerem. That's what you need to have the halachas of Kerem Revai. It has to have five grape vines or grape trees growing in the same vicinity. Aval, Arla, when it comes to Arla, says Baal Mor, no heges b'chol natia, it applies to even one single tree. If I have one apple tree in my backyard, the first 3 years has a din of Arla. I don't need to have a whole orchard of apple trees. One apple tree would be enough, says the Baal Mor. Uvelo kein kasev harashi memesecha sota. Rashi says otherwise. What does Rashi say? See, if you look at this very strange Rashi in Sota.
About trees,
right. So right now, all the Baal Mor is telling us is that it's then it comes to Ravai is, Kerem Ravai is all five, you need five, and Arla, you even one tree would be enough. So what does he refer to when he quotes a Rashi? Now also Rabbi Kiv Eger on the Gilyan Ashas as well, on the side of the page, quotes Rashi to look at Rashi. He doesn't tell us what to look at him for, but he says, look at Rashi, see what he says. So if you look at Rashi here, where's this Rashi? I have it quoted here in my page here. Rashi says...
In Sota,
yeah. Where does Rashi go? Here. The one who holds Maseches Brachos, Kerem Ravai, Ein Arla Noheges B'Netiachas, Ela B'Kerem Shalem. So the way the Baal Mor is understanding this Rashi is that when it comes to Arla, it does not apply to one tree. If I have one apple tree, if I have one esok tree, I don't have the halachas of Arla until I have a Kerem Shalem, until I have a full orchard or a full vineyard, we'll have the halachas of Arla. So that says, that's the Baal Mor says, that's very much against what I said. According to the Baal Mor, even one netiah, even one tree would be subject to the halachas of Arla. But Rashi says, when it comes to Arla, again, Ein Arla Noheges B'Netiachas Ela B'Kerem Shalem, you need an entire vineyard or entire orchard to have the halachas of Arla. So you need a full amount of trees, according to Rashi. That's the machlokas Rashi Tosfos. And that seems to be, it's a machlokas in general. I didn't point this out, but there's machlokas in general. The Rashba and the Baal Mor, as I said, and the Ramban elsewhere, have machlokas in general. What exactly is considered a Kerem Ravai? Is it one Natiya, or is it referring to a Kerem Shalem? So that machlokas they have elsewhere is the very same machlokas here when it comes to the Baal Mor versus Rashi. Baal Mor requires a Kerem Shalem, and Rashi requires a Natiya Achas. Now, if you saw the machlokas...
A Natiya Achas is even as Kerem, or only for trees?
Very good. It sounds like even for any other tree. Right now, we have no reason to think Arla would be limited to Kerem. Pashas is Arla applies to all trees across the board. That's a simple understanding. So this machlokas about being a Kerem Shalem or about being a Net Tiachas. Did you guys see the Rabbi Kiv Eger in the footnote? Os Beis has a fascinating quote from a Tshuva Sholem Eshev that has explanation of why you would say one Atiya versus a Kerem Shalem. It's Taloi on how you understand which source you would have to tell us that Kerem Ravai or not. Again, going back to the Gemara again. The Gemara tells us that one opinion thinks Neter Ravai applies to all fruits, and the other opinion thinks that it limits to only Kerem Ravai. And there's machlokas which source tells us Kerem Ravai. Either it's because of Ein Shir El Alayayin, or because of the Gezer Shava Tvua Tvua. It says Tvuasa Kerem in one place, it says Kol Tvuasa in another place, by Ravai. So just like Tvuasa Kerem means Kerem only, so to Ravai means Kerem only. Is it the Gezer Shava, or is it the Ein Shir El Alayayin? So the footnote there explained that that is going to dictate the halacha of does it apply to one tree or does it apply to Kerem Shalom? Let me explain. If you assume that the source of Kerem Ravai, how do you know to limit it to Kerem Ravai, is based on the Ein Shir El Yayin, so then you would apply it to any other fruit tree, any amount, even in the Tiachas should be, if it's a grapevine, so it's one Natiya, who cares? It's still a din of Ein Shir El Yayin, the grape's going to produce Yayin. And should be limited, the halachas of Kerem Ravai will apply to even a tiachas.
A grape is going to produce yayin, or a vineyard of grapes is going to produce
yayin? No, even a tiny bit would be considered wine. Yeah, maybe it's not a lot, but it's going to be whatever I could grow on one vine. I don't know how they grow, but it's going whatever comes out, we'll have the din of hagafen on them, certainly. Maybe not a revius, I don't know how much you get from one. But a whole natiya is going to have clusters of grapes even. But if you assume the gzer shava is the source of Kerem Ravai, that tvua tvua, and in that gzer shava it says kerem, it says tvuasa kerem, it's part of the gzer shava, then you need a kerem, you need a definition of a kerem to have the lachas of Ravai. Anything less than a kerem won't be subject to the lachas. So that's why the Baal Mor assumes
How would you learn to anything other than kerem, though? Because it has a different din, what would you do for all other fruits?
No, this explanation assumes that it only applies to kerem. There are two sources why you limit it to kerem.
Either you have... Okay.
If you assume the source of limiting it is tevua tevua, the gzer shava tevua tevua, and in that gzer shava, the word tevua sakarim, you need a full karim. That's what the Jerusha tells me. Tevua sakarim is the source. What's a karim? So you know from other halachas in Zerayim that 5, 2, 2, and 1 would be considered a din of a karim. So that's where the Baal Mor is coming from. The Baal Mor is coming from tevua as the source. So you need a karim. Rashi apparently in Sota assumes that no, it's not tevua, so it's not the source. The source we're learning from is the Ein Shir El Hayayin is the real source. Ein Shir El Yayin has nothing to do with the kerem, has to do with the ability to produce and generate wine, and that could come from even one netiyah. So that's how the footnote explains, quoting from it, Shilas and Shuvas from elsewhere, the machlok is between Shalim versus netiyachas.
Are you saying that the source of Orla is based always on the Revius Dinim, or there's just Stam a source for Orla without it?
The Orla, the Pesukim tell us that it applies to fruit, and if Pashas is, there's no reason to say it applies to only Kerem. Pashas is, Arla applies to every single fruit.
Right.
We're talking about Netzer Avai right now. We're going to go back to Arla in just a moment. But when it comes to Kerem Avai, there's a machlokas. Again, let's start again. There's a machlokas Netzer Avai versus Kerem Avai in Eretz Yisrael. We paskin Netzer Avai in Eretz Yisrael. Now we move to Chutz Laaretz. So then we paskin, some say it applies to all fruits. Some applies, it doesn't apply at all. Right. And some say Kerem Avai.
Right.
So if you assume it applies to Kerem Avai, what type of Kerem does it apply to? Does it apply to an Atiyachas, or does it apply to a Kerem Shalim?
Okay.
And that Machlokas is really hinges upon the source.
Right.
If it's learned from Tivaso, which has the word Kerem in that drasha, then apply you need an entire Kerem.
Okay.
If it's learned from Ein Shir El Yayin, then it would apply only to an Atiyachas. That's the whole explanation. Now, Reb Yeager, in his tshuva, we don't have many of these, so he was quoting from a sefer that had seen his own comments. He says, I saw what you wrote. I think he's referring to Rabbi Ishaya Katz. I don't have it in front of me. Rabbi Ishaya Katz had explained Rabbi Kiv Eger's Ha'ara on the Gemara. Rabbi Kiv Eger and the Gilyan Hashas quoted the Gemara in Sota, the Rashi in Sota, and he interpreted it in one way, and Rabbi Kiv Eger says you got it completely wrong. So the way that the Tshuva understood Rabbi Kiv Eger was our very discussion right now. It's a machlokas about Netiachas versus Kerem Shalim. That was his machlokas. And Rabbi Kiv Eger said you got it completely wrong. My understanding, the reason why I noted that Rashi was for a different reason, was for the reason of whether Arla applies to all fruits or was it limited to Kerem. Because Rashi says, I'll read Rashi again, listen to Rashi carefully. Rashi says, according to the Manda Amar, Manda Savar, Manda Amar, Maseches Brachos Kerem Revai, Tanan, Ein Arla Noheges Benetiachas Ela Bekerem Shalem. Kerem refers to...
Is the limitation there Shalem or Kerem?
Exactly. That's the ambiguity. So Rabbi Kiv Eger says, my problem with Rashi was that it says Kerem. Arla is limited to Kerem. And Kerem, as we know, is referring to a vineyard, to grapes only, not to others. So we see, even though we have nowhere in Shas, nowhere in Mishnayos or Gemara, that Arla is limited to anything. But Rashi says against all of Shas that Arla is also limited to Dafka Kerem. That's his problem with Rashi. What's the source of this? Okay. So in the footnote on Rabbi Kveger, he notes such a discussion. And I'm not going to get into this too much, but we clearly know there is a connection of the Arla halachas and the fourth year halachas, because they work one off the next. You have the first 3 years is Arla, and then the fourth year is Netter Avai. So it seems to be that it's very much a connection. So it's not crazy to say, if you assume the fourth year is limited to Kerem, then it's very likely that the first 3 years is limited to Kerem as well. It's very feasible to say that. So that makes sense. So the footnote of the Rebbe Kveger is talking back and forth about such an inyan, and he quotes a Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, which we don't normally quote for halacha purposes. It's usually a Divrei Agadata, but he quotes such a source that Arla only applies to Geffen, only applies to Kerem. So there is basis from a Tanaic source of Rashi that it's limited only to Kerem. And why would one limit it to Kerem? The idea being because there's such a connection between Arla and Neter Avai. That would be the reason. But according to others, and according to Rebbe Kveger, and according to Pashas of the Gemara, is that they're two separate halachas. Just because I'm going to limit Revai halachas to Kerem doesn't mean that the 3 years prior is going to be limited to Kerem. And therefore, such a machlokas becomes very interesting about this relationship between Arla and Revai.
Don't we have to look at the original source of Arla?
Yeah, no, if you look in the Pasuk says, I don't remember the whole Pasuk, put it on the spot, but it talks about Peros. I don't have Pasuk in front of me, but it's referring to, it says pre in the Pasuk, I think, right? You remember this? Okay. I'll get it out.
Because we're talking about the relationship
Original source of the thing.
To know if we should learn it off something else, or if we should learn it from in and of itself. No, I understand how it's related and why we're talking about it, but you need the original source before you compare it to something else, no? Well, the other way around. If you're telling me that I'm going to learn the Din's of Orla from Netter Revai, don't I have to know where I originally got the whole idea of Orla from? Telling me I'm learning it off of that?
Okay, so here the Pesukim. It's in Shlishi of Kedoshim. It says, "Chisavo el haaretz." When you come to Eretz Yisrael, unetatem kol eitz machal. You plant any fruit tree, kol eitz machal, right? And the truth is, the Gemara says, I'm thinking this now. The Gemara later on, we're going to see, says, "What's the lashon kol eitz machal?" Kol eitz machal. I know once we say a fruit tree, it says later on pirio, obviously referring to a fruit tree. So why say eitz machal? Just say pre. So the Gemara says to
and
teach me.
Machal is ochel.
Yeah. So
edible.
Edible, exactly. So once I have pre, the later on the pasuk says. Varaltem arloso es purio. Shlosh shanim yeh lachem arelim lo yeach. The first 2 years, the fruit is going to be aser. And the fourth year, you take it to kodesh ilul lashem. But we see the lashon of pri. So Gemara asks later on in Brachos, if it says pri, so why does the pasuk have to say eitz machal? Eitz machal means that there's a fruit. Once there's a fruit tree, I know it's referring to a fruit tree. Just leave out the word eitz machal. So Gemara ends up saying to teach
no,
me that
does it mean that it has to do with what people eat, not necessarily what's poison? Or
no,
what
once you have pri,
eat?
Once you have pri means something that's edible to the human. So the Gemara asks, so why mention eitz machal? It's unnecessary. So Gemara ends up answering lahavi to include. This is a Gemara that's on Lam Nevavam and Beis. Lahavi eitz shetam eitzo ufirio shave. This comes to include that a fruit that's wood, that's bark, is just as tasty as the fruit itself. Vezezeh, what's an example? Hapilpulin, pepper. Pepper has such a halacha. So we see that it applies even to pilpulin and even to other things as well. And estrogen. What?
Estrogen.
Right, estrogen also we have. So it clearly applies to other things as well. So Rashi can't come along. We've mentioned before, he can't argue on a Tana who says esrog. He can't argue on a pepper. The Gemara says pepper is a fruit, and you would say brach on it. It starts as, when it depends, when it grows in the tree, apparently it's a little bit more, I'm not sure, tasty, but it's more of a fruit than the way we get it when it's all dried out. Where it talks about which bracha you say on this, if you end up eating if you eat spices when the pepper's dry, you don't say bracha, that's not edible. If you, apparently it's edible also before it dries out, and it would have a bracha of adam or ha'et, I think it's machlok is what bracha to say, depends how it grows exactly. But either way, it's subject to the halachas of Arla, and this is not limited to Kerem. This is clearly not grapes.
Just a question.
Yeah.
You read the Pasuk. The Pasuk of Kodesh Hilulim Hashem is the same Pasuk as Arla.
It's a next Pasuk. It's a separate Pasuk, but they're next to each other. Yeah. So it's
maybe that's where Rashi gets his idea, right? That Arla is only Kerem.
Right. Yeah, certainly connection. There certainly is a connection. You can't argue with 3 and 4 years, but how far do you take that connection?
Right. So the Pasuk by Arla says pre. It says a general term.
Right.
So
exactly.
That leads to the sheet that it holds its netter revai.
Yeah.
I should use that pasuk to limit it because
exactly.
The pasuk by that excludes. Yeah.
Then you have the pasuk again. Then just to read the flow of things, it says I'll read the whole, both pasukim together. Yeah. You go there to sell, you plant trees, and then the fruit becomes arla. The first 2 years you can't eat it. The very next pasuk says, "Uvashana harviyis yeh kol pirio," all fruit, it sounds like. But then it says, "Kodesh hilulim Hashem." So now we know from the word hilulim, ain't shir el hayayin. This refers to
daf kerem. Maybe it
uvashana.
Uvashana, yeah. So what the vav you think is connecting the two? So there certainly is a connection. The question is how far the connection.
Right, but it sounds like maybe there's an exception at the end. Right. No, but there may be. Maybe there's an exception at the end with the hilulim.
Right, the hilulim already starts to qualify it. So that's the ambiguity. But Rashi has no source in the Gemaras. The Gemaras seem to go against him. The Mishnah Nayoski seem to go against him. So I don't know what to do with it. But they did find some Tana de Rabbi Eliezer who holds like Rashi as well. Or Rashi holds like him, even though we don't pass like Tana de Rabbi Eliezer. Usually it's really a Galata source. It's interesting nonetheless. Now, Linyan Halacha, Psach Halacha now, the Shulchan Aruch brings down two deyas. In your day, I don't have it in front of me, but he writes that one opinion holds, one shita out there holds, that no neter vai applies in chutzlarts across the board, like we said, was the shita of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah brought a shita that all revai, all neter vai has halachas in chutzlarts because we don't apply the halachas of, or the klal of, called makeup arts. Does not apply unless the Gemara itself applies it. Therefore, all netiyos are subject to revai in chutzlarts. Then he brings a second opinion that says it's not knowing at all in Chutzlarts, which is the opinion of the Rambam, because he said Kodesh, Kodesh, just like Ma'aseh Sheni doesn't apply in Chutzlarts, so to revive doesn't apply at all in Chutzlarts. And then the Ramah brings the third opinion, which is Tosos, that applies only to Kerem and limits it Dafka to Kerem. Now all that, which is interesting, Rabbi Kveger has comments on the Shulchan Aruch. And his comments in the Shulchan Aruch, he writes that when he referred to Kerem Revai of the Ramah, it applies to only a situation where it's a Kerem Shalim. Bring everything full circle, because he's holding what he writes, his comments of Rashi on the Gilyan Shas, and when he writes in the Chuvos, he has such a discussion, he says that it applies Dafka to Kerem, not to an Atiyachas. Now the Chazanish thinks otherwise. Chazanish paskins that we should be Choshish for the other Shitas, that it thinks it applies even to one Atiyah. So a person, let's say, has one grapevine in his yard. I actually know this guy who has grapevines.
Like a tomato tree.
So tomatoes are not subject to revai. It has to be a fruit, not a vegetable. Even though I know vegetables are fruits in America, but halakhically they're not.
Scientifically, tomatoes are fruit.
Right, I think by the high levels of sugar they have, maybe.
No, because they're growing above the ground. Like the pepper you just told me was a fruit.
No, not a pepper, the spice. The spice pepper, not the vegetable pepper. I was referring to the spices pepper. We're going to get to halakhas of trees, just to tell you the basic discussion of what a tree is, how you define a fruit tree. There are two criteria. One criteria is, the Gemara says, has to be a tree that comes back seasonally. Each year comes back on its own, not by replanting it. The vegetables do not come back on their own, usually. You have to replant them each season. Fruit trees do come back, they grow on their own. You plant an apple tree once, as long as it doesn't dry out and die, it's going to grow fruits each year.
Right.
That's klal one. Now, the Gemara says, that's a fruit tree, that's number one.
It goes back by itself.
Right, but it's machlok, it's what has to remain from season to season. Does the entire tree have to remain?
Now you're talking about
Do the roots have to? Exactly. So bananas, and I think strawberries as well, the roots remain in the ground even though the bush or trees die, but it still remains something.
Right.
So that's machlokas. We showed them how much has to remain. So
what's
we pass
the answer to the original question, though?
Which other question?
The first question that we started the whole class off with. Do we hold by this
it's a machlokas.
Redeeming fruit?
It's a big machlokas we showed them? Big machlokas we showed them.
What we do here.
What do we do? Harry Paskin?
Saying everybody holds it, because what I was saying to my chavrusas was, we have fruit trees and everybody over the years, and the only thing anybody ever discusses is the orla, don't have it for the rest
of
the
year.
Nobody
like,
ever, and tells me, I've never heard,
you've
got to redeem your
fruits. Ashkenazim, we pass like the Ramah, the Ashkenazim say, they're like the Ramah says, but it only applies to Kerem Riva, Kerem. If you have grapes.
Only if you have grapevines.
Exactly.
Then you have to do
right,
a redemption thing.
No, which would mean, the continuation of Tosas, like we discussed last time, is how do you redeem it? You have to redeem it on a coin.
And throw it out.
And you have to, exactly.
So we hold by that with grapes.
Yep.
It has to be a vine, like a lot of them. Not just one.
No. Well, Rabbi Kveger says it has to be five.
Yeah.
Chazanish says only one. So depending how you paskin, in regards to how many, that would be the halacha.
So that's the only thing. Nobody holds by all fruit.
The Svardim have two opinions. Shulchan Aruch means two opinions. I don't know how they paskin. But I imagine they would be choshesh for all fruits, possibly. I don't know for sure. You have to ask a Svardim.
Does any winemaker who's in Chutzlaris has to partake in...
any winemaker anywhere, right?
What? But no,
So much more so in Eretz Yisrael.
Remove the portion of the first, and
do a redemption thing.
Yeah, if you have grapes, for the right, yeah, exactly.
Does it make a difference if it's owned by a non-Jew?
It's a good question. I think, I don't know for sure, I think if it's owned by a non-Jew, it's not subject to the halachas. I think it has to be owned by you. I'm pretty sure. I have to check. I don't know for sure.
You should know what the Sephardim did. The Sephardim go to Ashkenazi schools. They know what the Ashkenazi is. The Ashkenazi seems to be adamant as far as learning Sephardic. I don't understand why.
Well, a lot of it is the Shulchan Aruch sometimes brings a number of opinions and doesn't say how we paskin. Rama usually says v'cheina ninoik. He tells us how we, which sheet do we paskin like sometimes. So, okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, next week, we'll learn the discussion of whether Birchas Hinenin is a din.